When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith and I'm here to bring you the weekend warm-up show, BFW's weekly show where we hit on all the latest and greatest news of the week. And if you've been following our website, you know a lot has been happening, especially on the Bayern Munich coaching front. Wow. I mean, you could have put a gun to my head a couple of weeks ago, and I would not have predicted how this was going to play out. But by all accounts, it seems like Bayern Munich is going to hire Ralf Rangnick as its new coach. And I know a lot of you out there are going to have strong opinions on that. It is a very weird time for Bayern Munich to be out trying to hire a coach. The list of candidates is not overly impressive. It seems like the coaches that Bayern Munich wanted to get are no longer available or have not made themselves available. It's a really tricky situation. And I think that the Bavarians were going on and they were exploring a lot of options. And they got to a point where they're starting to feel the pressure that they need to make a hire. And the list of candidates just isn't going to get any better or more expansive. What you see is what you get. And right now, Bayern Munich seems to be determining that Ralf Rangnick is the best person to lead their organization moving forward into the near future. There are a lot of people with takes on this, hot takes, cold takes, all kinds of takes. So let's get to it and let's start discussing how we all feel about it. This is something that I personally did not expect. When this whole move went down with Tuchel being let go, I thought there were a couple scenarios that made sense. Obviously, Xabi Alonso was one that we all looked at and thought it's a good time for him to move. He's having a juggernaut season with Bayer Leverkusen. Things are just as high as they are ever going to get for him. It's time to move on. But Alonso knows himself. He knows his career trajectory. And he understood in his mind that this is not the right time to move. That sticking with Leverkusen for another season is what he, not just what he wants to do, but what is best for his career. So that left Bayern Munich and Liverpool really hanging out there to dry. It was really the seminal moment of all of this when Alonso decided he was going back. Things really started to kick up for Bayern Munich in terms of trying to find a solution. And we saw all kinds of roads lead to different people. Julian Nagelsmann seemed like another good option. Given that the previous regime has been pretty much all cleared out, Nagelsmann, it would have seemed, could have come back, could have taken his place back in the coaching box and been the man who, quite frankly, he should have been allowed to be in the first place. And here's what I mean by that. Nagelsmann, for all of the faults that he had as manager of Bayern Munich, and he did have faults. He made poor personnel decisions. He tinkered too much. His formation choices were crazy. Some of his strategies were nuts. It was crazy at times. And I say crazy and nuts because it did drive me crazy and nuts a lot at that time. We went through those periods where Robert Lewandowski barely got any service, where the attack focused on Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman, Jamal Musiala, Serge Gnabry, all inferior finishers to Lewandowski. We saw Nagelsmann bench Müller and have to go through that whole process of figuring out that Müller was a good fit for what he wanted to do, even though on paper, maybe it didn't seem like it would work. There was a lot of frustration, but in the end, it was all starting to come together, and then panic set in for Brazo and Oliver Kahn, and they made a move that regrettably probably set the club back a few years. Now, let's just say this. If Tuchel goes through and they're able to get past Real Madrid and they're able to win a Champions League, you have to give a nod, not just to Tuchel, who of course would deserve it, but also to Brazo and Kahn for seeing something. The problem was, to get to this point, Bayern Munich had to go through another series of frustrating events. They had to go through some losses. They had to go through a lot of pain in terms of the coach not being able to get this group of players to go out there and perform at their best. He didn't have a feel for how to do that. There was a lot of issues with the way Tuchel handled the squad. So to get to this point, it almost makes it not worth it. But again, if Tuchel can find a way to get past Madrid, if he can find a way to win the UCL, then I think all has to be forgiven on all fronts and everyone just moves on happily and probably progresses under Ralf Rangnick as it appears things will go. So one of the things with Rangnick that I think a lot of fans are kind of questioning is this kind of came out of nowhere in a lot of ways. There was this list of candidates that people had seen with Nagelsmann, Zinedine Zidane, Alonso, Roberto De Zerbi. I mean, there were a lot of candidates out there. Even Hansi Flick, who we'll talk about in a little bit, was mentioned there. And then all of a sudden, there started to be this real fervor through the media for Ralf Rangnick. And not that the media was promoting Rangnick, but that there were these stories just emerging from everywhere that all of a sudden the Austrian manager was a serious candidate. And at first, a lot of people dismissed it, and probably rightfully so, because it just seemed kind of absurd that after everything that had happened and everything that had gone on, that Bayern Munich wasn't going to walk away with what many would consider a premier-type manager. And Rangnick, for as good as a football man as he is, I wouldn't have considered him to be a prime candidate for this gig when the news first broke that Tuchel was not coming back. So fans have kind of been up in arms. It's a really split crowd here. And this is one of the things that's a little troubling, is that we're in yet another situation where not everyone is on board with this move, and it's going to make it very difficult from a fan standpoint and from a group that covers this team day to day. There's going to be a lot of discourse. If Rangnick has initial failures, if he starts to bring in players who fans think don't make sense as a fit on the team, there are going to be issues. And you can see this kind of thing coming down the way. But again, Rangnick can eliminate all of this by just going out and winning. Now, one of the big hangups we had seen reported on with Rangnick was that he wanted some say, and a good amount of say, in the team's personnel decisions. That has been the sticking point of every Bayern Munich coach since the Hansi Flick-Brazo war. Everybody wants a say. And when Flick was in hand and he had won everything, he was given very little say. Now, we're not going to go through who he wanted, who the club wanted, who they ultimately ended up with. None of that really matters. It's the concept that the coach wanted input, he wasn't getting it, and that created this schism between the front office and the coaching staff, which of course grew to be this huge gap that could not be overcome. Now, starting with Nagelsmann, there was input. Nagelsmann's feedback was taken. And when he was let go, Tuchel had to become sort of a de facto sporting director because Bayern Munich had nothing in place. Of course, there was the transfer team or the transfer committee that was put together, led by Uli Hoeneß and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. But Tuchel had say. He was helping direct traffic there. You know, he was very vocal about wanting Declan Rice and Harry Kane, and going 1-for-2 there wasn't so bad. There was a lot of responsibility put on him. So when Christoph Freund was hired, you could almost sense that Tuchel was a little disappointed. I'm not saying he wanted to continue to run personnel or be the main point person, but his voice became a little bit more silent, I'll say. With that, you started to see Freund start to put his imprint on things. And of course, as we went along, Max Eberl became the new guy to really oversee Freund and the whole personnel situation. So Rangnick sees all of this. He sees all of the developments. I'm sure he's been following it closely for years. And the one thing that he wanted to make sure he had, if he takes this gig, is say in personnel. And it's very important that I think Bayern is flexible with that. And Rangnick is certainly a guy who has a lot of personnel experience. He is going to have a lot of ideas about this current roster, about players that he wants. We're already starting to see some things leak out. It is absolutely something that's going to be a big factor in how this club progresses forward. Rangnick is a bright guy. He's a smart footballing man. He is absolutely someone who I think has a good idea on what he wants to do. But the ability to execute those things at Bayern Munich has always been a challenge for a lot of coaches. Rangnick is going to have say, it appears, if he gets hired in these personnel decisions. He's going to be able to start to build this team in his likeness. But who stays and who goes? This is a team very much in transition. It has some very established veterans who are on the cusp of leaving or who have been considered to be maybe wanting an exit. There are some players who really struggled this year that might need a change of scenery. And then you've got this veteran mix who are not going anywhere, but yet need to have some kind of input and say in their own playing time and how they see out the last few years of their careers. And of course, we're talking about Manuel Neuer and Thomas Muller. There's a lot going on for any coach to come into, but one interesting story did break earlier today, and there was a list of Ralf Rangnick favorite players, I'll say, that TZ put out, which was, I thought, a little bit interesting. And the players listed as people that Rangnick would want to work with or one that he liked, basically, as TZ put it, this would play into the hands of several Bayern players. Joshua Kimmich, who has a relationship with Rangnick that goes back to 2013 through Kimmich's time moving from Stuttgart to RB Leipzig. Goretzka, who Rangnick once described as the best box-to-box player in the world. Konrad Laimer, who again had a relationship with Rangnick that was established during his move from Salzburg to Leipzig. Dayo Upamecano, another Rangnick, I would say, disciple. he said his first meeting, Dayo Upamecano described his first meeting with Rangnick as the most important moment of his career. It's interesting, to say the least. Upamecano would later say when Rangnick left Leipzig, it's difficult for me not to be able to work with him anymore. So clearly the two men have a very strong relationship. Manuel Neuer was promoted to Schalke's first team by Rangnick back in the day, and Rangnick has also called Neuer the best goalkeeper in the world. Rangnick was described as the first person outside of Bayern to notice Thomas Muller for his talent and was close to bringing him to Hoffenheim back in 2008. As for Leroy Sané, the final one, Rangnick followed and was interested in him even before he was training with Schalke's first team. So Rangnick has had a long-term interest in a lot of these players. Now, of that group listed, this is very interesting, Kimmich and Goretzka have been linked to transfers, though it's very questionable whether either player really wants to leave. You could ascertain that they're so fed up with the way things have worked out that they might be exploring it. Kimmich in particularly, since he has been rumored to have interest from Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United, Real Madrid, FC Barcelona, and PSG. So he's got his options. Goretzka has seemed to be the one that has been more inclined to stay and fight for his spot and really establish himself as I'll get killed for this if I say club legend, but someone that's going to play the large majority of his career at Bayern Munich and really become known as a Bayern Munich player. Laimer is a guy who has not been able to establish himself this season. This relationship with Rangnick really could parlay something good for him into something good for him. He has also been a guy who I have theorized could go on a transfer, just because the only way I can picture him staying is if the next coach has a clear vision for him. And lo and behold, maybe Rangnick does. Upamecano had a great start to his season. Tuchel ran him into the ground and it's been trouble ever since. Upa has not been all that consistent of late. He's been prone to big mistakes. This is really a point in his career where he has to make a decision. Does he stick it out with Bayern Munich and try and work with this under Rangnick if Rangnick does indeed get the job? Or does he start to look around and say, I need a change of scenery here. Things haven't worked out for me the last couple of seasons. And when I say that, I'm not saying he's been bad for two seasons by any means, but the end of his 2022-2023 campaign was not great. And while he did have some really strong moments in the first half of the season, his second half has been tough, to say the least. So Upamecano is a guy who's going to have to really figure things out. Sané is another player who's been linked to a transfer. By all accounts, Bayern wants him and he wants Bayern, but there still are these little things floating out there. And the fact that Sané hasn't refused to commit until he sees the coach, until he knows what the plan is, it leaves the door open in the event that he does want to leave for something to happen. As for Mueller and Neuer, those situations are a little more difficult to assess because Neuer is going to be the starter no matter what. It doesn't matter who the coach is. Until Neuer decides he's done, he's pretty much going to establish himself and stay that starting goalkeeper. So it's not necessarily difficult. Where it does become a little bit tricky is the coach working with Neuer to kind of figure out when that exit plan starts. As for Mueller, it is complicated. He's a guy who clearly still has something left in the tank, still a productive player, has had some really good, strong moments this year. I don't think his career has been handled properly over the last three seasons. Nagelsmann, the relationship there, while allegedly was very strong in terms of how they communicated, how they interacted, and there was no issue with that. Nagelsmann was another coach who didn't see the value in Mueller until it was too late. And when he started to come around on Mueller a season and a half after he took over, things quickly spiraled out of control for the young coach. Mueller, from this point, though, didn't really get that regular playing time under Tuchel either. So despite being an older player and despite being someone who, you know, is an acquired taste for a lot of coaches, they all seem to want to move away from Mueller. And I would love to know why. I would love for one of the journalists in the German media to really explore that as a story, because it's one of the more fascinating things to me. I mean, you go back to Carlo Ancelotti, even Pep Guardiola, toward the very end of Pep's tenure, Mueller was sitting games at the end of that season. Then we started with Carlo Ancelotti, and again, Mueller was out of favor. Then Jupp Heynckes took over, Mueller back in. Niko Kovac took over, Thomas Mueller out of favor. Hansi Flick came in, Mueller became an integral part of the squad once more. But then when we saw Nagelsmann and Tuchel, it was more of the same. So I would love to know why it always ends up this way for a guy who seemingly does all the right things, who works hard as a team player, who is productive. I mean, maybe it's the fact that he's the build mole. I don't know. And of course, I'm saying that jokingly, but that's always been my theory. Either way, it is kind of fascinating to me that Mueller has been this kind of really polarizing figure for a lot of coaches. So how would Ranić handle him? How would he handle this situation? It might be a little easier now given Mueller's age and that he probably isn't going to be demanding playing time as much and that he knows and understands his role. But there are a lot of factors here for Ranić that he's going to have to kind of work through. And it's not just those players that were listed. There's a lot more going on when you look at other players who could be linked to transferring away or who really are unhappy with the way things are within their respective careers. So if Ranić is the choice, it will not be an easy job. He will get the personnel say that he wants if you believe everything. He's going to have a core of players who he's familiar with and who respect him. So all of that is a good thing, I guess, because his vision will be implemented in some form or fashion. He's got players who like him and believe in him and can establish a good locker room culture. But will he be able to get the job done in the coaching box every weekend when Bayern Munich is squaring off with other Bundesliga teams? You would think he would have the experience and the wherewithal to be able to do that, and he probably does. But now the game has shifted a little bit with the emergence of Bayer Leverkusen and that monster team that they've created there. Ranić's got his work cut out for him if he gets this gig. He's got a good foundation, it seems. But from there, he's really going to have to work. And, you know, one other thing that could be in play here is how quickly can he do that with Austria and the Euros this summer? Can he juggle responsibilities? Would Austria even want him to do that? It would seem to be in really poor taste and form to walk away from Austria at this point. I don't think he would do that, especially heading into such a key tournament so close to home for them. This is absolutely a situation for Ranić that he's going to have to work through. And if I'm Austria, I probably don't like that he's distracted at this point. But you have to understand, I guess, if you're Austria, that when you hired him, there was always this potential that he was going to become an attractive candidate to someone else. So Ranić appears to be the call there. We will see if that actually goes through. Knowing my luck with these podcasts, I usually talk about something and then a move happens within hours. So if it works out that way, then I'll know that someone at Bayern is listening and they cannot wait to make me be old news. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Roniek a little bit more, a couple of the rumors that have been out there, and then also talk a little bit about Hansi Flick, because I think he got overlooked in this process, and I think he would have been a good fit for Bayern Munich moving forward. But we'll talk about that after the break. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging in there after the break. This is Chuck Smith bringing the weekend warm-up show. Appreciate you sticking with us through that first segment. And I want to get right to it, because there are a couple of things out there that we've heard that I don't want to know. I don't want to say they're legitimate, but it was very interesting and thought-provoking to see that they were out there. The first was a report stating that whoever Bayern Munich hires next would be a one-year short-term solution. And at first, when I saw this, it did strike me as, okay, well, it makes sense that they're looking at Ralf Rangnick, because theoretically, although it's very rare, he could conceivably manage the Austrian national team, continue to do that job, and then also manage Bayern Munich for one season. It's conceivable, not likely, but it's conceivable how it could work. Will it happen? Probably not. The big part of the rumor was that the reason it would be a one-year arrangement is because Bayern Munich would be waiting for Jurgen Klopp to have his one-year sabbatical and then be ready to coach once more. That probably had a lot of fans interested, had maybe a few excited, probably had Tom Adams streaking somewhere in the streets of Connecticut, thinking about how happy he would be if Klopp made the move from Liverpool to Bayern. But it seems doubtful that that is an arrangement that would work. And even the latest news that came out today on Thursday was that if Rangnick is hired, it's going to be a long-term solution, not a short-term gig. So it kind of threw some cold water on that, but it was very interesting to see that story come out, because I could have seen that scenario, because it's not just Klopp that would have been available at that time. You would have had Xabi Alonso, maybe even Julian Nagelsmann, or even Hansi Flick. Even though Flick's available now, you would have had some prime candidates potentially available at that point. So that was interesting. It did catch my eye. I did have doubts about it, but seeing the story that emerged today saying that Rangnick would be a long-term hire kind of eliminated that story. But it was interesting to think about it, that maybe Bayern was kicking that around. Maybe it was something they had considered just because of the timing of things. I mean, you would have definitely had Alonso and Klopp available, who seemingly would be the two top coaching candidates for any club next summer. And when I say next summer, I mean the 2025 season. One of the other things that I had seen out there was Rangnick had already submitted some names that he wanted Bayern Munich to pursue. And lo and behold, these are two names that have been linked to Bayern Munich many times in the past. The first, FC Barcelona midfielder Frankie de Jong. Now, de Jong has been linked to Bayern Munich off and on since right around 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. He was a young player at Ajax, the Dutchman. Everyone wanted him. Bayern has long been linked to him. We saw some rumors even spike last summer about a potential pursuit. If Bayern Munich is going to overhaul its midfield, which again, given what we know about Rangnick and his affinity for Kimmich, Leimer, and Goretzka, we don't know if that's on the table or not, but if he does want De Jong, it does look like a situation where FC Barcelona is looking to unload salary. They've already deferred part of De Jong's salary to the point where I think I saw some numbers floated around that they could be as high as 37 to 40 million next season because of all the payments that have been deferred. That's obviously not something that would be workable for Bayern Munich long term, but during transfers, these are all things that seemingly get worked out. So I wouldn't be shocked if Bayern Munich and Barca are talking about De Jong, and if Rangnick wants him, it would be a very interesting scenario to see a four-person midfield of Kimmich, Goretzka, Leimer, and De Jong competing for playing time. That is assuming if Kimmich actually returns to the midfield. Maybe Rangnick could convince him to play right back full-time. But speaking of right backs, the other player who Rangnick allegedly wants is Bayer Leverkusen's Jeremy Frimpong, who, as we all know, is a right back/right wing back. So whatever formation that Rangnick wanted to deploy, it would seemingly be something where Frimpong would be that option on the right side where Kimmich is currently starting. So it, very interesting to see that news. Again, we don't know at this stage if any of that is true, but if it is, it's very interesting that Rangnick is already starting to eye the direction where he wants to go, what kind of players he wants to work with, and what kind of system that he might want to use. So just something to keep an eye on, and we'll be following that, of course, at BFW like we do with all of these crazy transfer rumors. But what I really wanted to hit on during this segment was Hansi Flick. And I was kind of astonished that throughout this process, that all the names floated, Flick really never seemed to be under heavy consideration. And when I think about his exit from the club, I know it was really tumultuous. There was a lot of bad blood built up between Flick and Alonso. And I know that even though we saw Alonso, Flick and Brazo, talk about Freudian slip there. You know, when we talk about Flick and we think about how he left, there was that bad blood. There was Uli Hoeneß, who was backing Brazo at the time. And Uli could not understand why Flick was so upset about this lack of same personnel and that Flick should just do his job and all of this. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge had loosely backed Flick, but apparently there might have been a falling out there. So all of this, years later, you have the failure with Germany, and then you get to this point where Bayern needs a coach. And you had a guy sitting there who was free, someone who had already worked with many of the players, and someone who had a very good idea how to play successfully at Bayern Munich in this environment, under the pressure and the media scrutiny. He had a feel for it. Now, the reservation, I think, and this is just my theory, and I have said this quite a few times, is that the Amazon documentary was so eye-opening that the team had not bought into Flick, that they didn't respect Flick, they openly challenged him, that hurt his credibility as a coach more than the actual results on the pitch, which were not great, as we all know. That was damaging as hell to him. And even me, as someone who had backed him from way in the start when he took over for Niko Kovac, I was just stunned at the way that the players approached everything about that tournament, from the attendance to meetings, to taking in the strategy and tactics during their chalk talks. It was very disappointing. And I don't know if it's that Flick lost his magic touch with the players, or if he just simply couldn't connect with a group that just really, honestly, I don't know if anybody could have gotten them to buy in. A lot of the excitement is back in Germany. They just won their last two friendlies under Nagelsmann. We'll see how it all plays out this summer. If Germany makes it out of the group stage, it's an accomplishment in my mind. I know the bar is really low, but this is not a group that has the winning mentality that I think we all remember from those great German teams starting way back. I mean, if you're going like as far back as 1990, I know there were some bad year gaps for the national team in between there, but you start to think about how the great German teams always looked and played and how they approached every game. It hasn't been the same. And even under under Nagelsmann, these two friendlies, it's a very small sample size. If we all remember, Hansi Flick looked like he was building a juggernaut in the first 10 to 12 games that he took over as well. So this is, you know, this is a definitely an interesting point for Flick, because I look at all of this. I look at the performances. I look at how Germany has looked after him. I think about how impactful he was as a coach and how everyone on that team back at Bayern Munich at that time was bought into him. And sure, Flick gets knocked a little bit for a second season, but I think it's ridiculous for him to take on such criticism. Yeah, it wasn't as successful, but he had the team in a position to advance in the Champions League. They lose Robert Lewandowski at the absolute worst time. I mean, to not be available against PSG during an elimination game when they needed him, it's just bad luck. You can't account for that. And with that, you had some people start to doubt that Flick could do this on a long-term basis at Bayern. And I think that started within the organization. Fans obviously are always going to be split down the middle, but at that point with Flick having caused such a ruckus about not having any personnel say, Brazo having his own internal conflicts there, it left such a bad taste in everyone's mouth that I think it affected him during this coaching search. It's really unfortunate because I think he could have probably come in and gotten everything back on track for Bayern Munich and for himself. I think that the Bayern team that he has was set up with maybe a couple of little tweaks to be really good under Flick. I mean, obviously, you start with having a striker like Harry Kane who can do so much. I think Flick would have been able to make that work in a great way. I think Flick would have been able to manage the tug of war of playing time at the 10 between Musiala and Muller a little bit and make it work. Of course, Flick was a guy that put Musiala on the wing where he started to excel and really show himself. He knew how to use these players. And even recently, we've seen Musiala talk about while he wants to play the 10, he's really comfortable on the left wing as well. So these are things that I think Flick could have worked with. Now, we know that Flick was not exactly a huge fan of Leroy Sané. We know that Flick liked having a traditional winger, but lo and behold, you have a guy like Chris Furyk out there who's available that if Flick needed someone to play that traditional wing role, would have been really easily attainable and cheap to get. Of course, there would be some turnover. There would have to be on the wing with Kingsley Coman, Serge Gnabry. Somebody would have to go. Maybe even Brian Zaragoza. Who knows? But Flick, I think, could have made that attack work. In the midfield, we've seen Flick work wonders with Kimmich, with Goretzka. I think he could have been a guy who could have looked at the situation and assessed what would be best for the team. Defensively, I think the group would have been really set up between the four center backs that they currently have to really function well under Flick. And I know his high line scares the hell out of a lot of people, but remember he was playing that with Boateng and David Alaba and Nicolas Sulla at times. We know Sulla during the treble season had an ACL tear. We know Benjamin Pavard was injured and he was part of the mix there. These were all things that Flick dealt with, but he would be well more equipped now to handle it with that quartet of center backs. And of course, with the uncertainty, you have Kimmich and Mizrahi and Sacha Boué at right back. Left back's a little bit more of a wild card because of Davies' situation with Real Madrid. But I think that this group, honestly, would have been very much set up for Hansi Flick to succeed. I'd be very interested to see what you guys think about that. I'm not campaigning for Flick or anything. That ship has sailed. It appears that Ranić is the call. But I do think there would have been a pretty easy transition under Flick, and he could have, if anything, corrected the mentality and really rebuilt the relationships with players that Tuchel, I don't want to say ruined, but that he harmed. So that's just my take. I would have liked to have seen Hansi Flick get a little bit more consideration. I honestly am not feeling strongly one way or the other with Ranić. I kind of think his hiring could come down to just process of elimination. Like, there's just not a lot of great candidates. He's a guy who will come in with some fresh ideas, who knows the league, who really does know the team. He knows the culture of Bayern Munich. I think that he's someone who has potential to do well, but this is also a situation that could easily blow up. And if it goes that route, this is going to be a long season next year. So we'll see how it plays out and if Ranić does get the call. But hey, I would have liked to see Flick get a little bit more consideration than he did. We're going to take one more quick break and we're going to come back and talk about the upcoming tie with Real Madrid. If you're looking for the entertainment rundown, I'll be honest. My life has been a complete bleep show the last couple of weeks. I've had zero time to do anything. I drove through the night last weekend to get my daughter from her prom to a soccer showcase in North Carolina. So I'm still feeling the effects of that like 6 days later or whatever. I know I am a complete idiot. I was so amped up on coffee during that ride and I was trying like hell to stay awake while she slept, which is really hard because trying not to wake the kid up, but you're also trying to make sure you don't crash into a tree or something because you fall asleep. It was not advisable, but I got there, I survived, and I made the 8-hour drive home as well. So I guess all is good. I'm just still tired from it. But either way, we're going to come back and talk about Real Madrid. Enough of me droning on about why I haven't had time to watch any TV shows. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Weekend Warm-Up Show. This is Chuck Smith. Thanks for hanging in there. Yeah, I could go on and on about my crappy schedule. Work has been busy as hell. BFW is completely on fire at times with the amount of news dropping, and it has been very, very tough to keep everything rolling forward. But somehow, some way, we're doing it. Even on a personal level, it's just been so busy that it's just, it'd be nice to have a little downtime, but just doesn't appear to be on the horizon anytime soon. So maybe in the summer at some point, right? Anyway, Bayern Munich obviously will face off with Eintracht Frankfurt this weekend. If you get a chance, listen to the preview show where I broke that down. Obviously, it's very important for them to keep the momentum and to stay very close and tight with Eintracht Frankfurt and to pull out a victory. You want to have a good mentality, a great mindset heading into Real Madrid, but this is going to be a special tie against Madrid. If you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about them. I feel like they are the second most talented team in Europe. I feel like they are built for this moment. They've got a great mix of young players and established veterans. The veterans who have won it all, who have done so much in their careers, it is a perfect formula for a Champions League contender. They have a guy at coach in Carlo Ancelotti who has won on the biggest stages. Of course, he was a complete bust at Bayern Munich, but that was for a variety of reasons. Nepotism, among them, smoking on the practice pitch, whatever he was. There was a lot going on back then. Smoking Carlo and his son kicking around as the strength coach or whatever. It was a very interesting time to follow the team, to say the least. But this Real Madrid side is going to be Bayern Munich's biggest test to date. And it's weird to say that because Bayern has played Bayer Leverkusen twice, who might just be the best team in Europe this season. But Real Madrid is built for this moment. And to overcome them, Bayern Munich is going to have to put forth a monumental effort. And it's not a doubt on Bayern's talent, or it's not even a doubt on Tuchel and his ability to kind of match wits with Ancelotti during this moment. I don't think Ancelotti has to do too much right here. I'm sure he has some tough personnel decisions to make. He can roll out any 11 right now, and they're going to have an instant advantage. Tuchel's really going to have to examine his matchups. He's going to have to examine who the best players will be for this moment. And I don't think that Tuchel has always been the best for that. He certainly got it right versus Arsenal. I will give him credit for that. But over the course of his tenure at the club over the last year, he has not always been able to push those right buttons. And if he makes one misstep against Real Madrid, it could prove extremely costly to Bayern Munich's chances to bring home this last possibility of a trophy for the season. Tuchel has his work cut out for him, but this roster is going to have to rise up. They are going to have to dig deeper than they have ever before. If Harry Kane wants to get that first trophy, he is going to have to be a beast. If the team wants to go out and salvage this season and get that first trophy for the unit during this campaign, they are going to have to relentlessly attack and just nonstop keep the pressure on Real Madrid. I don't know if they have it in them to do it over two ties. In the midfield, we're going to have to see a boss performance from whoever is out there. And we just don't know who it will be. Could be Laimer, could be Goretzka, could be Pavlovich, could even be Kimmich. We don't know. But in the midfield, Bayern can't afford to lose that battle. And when the other side has Jude Bellingham, it's not going to be easy. Especially when you consider the not ready for primetime players on this team in the midfield are Luka Modric and Toni Kroos. And when I say that, I'm saying it joking, obviously, but they're no longer the stars of the Real Madrid midfield. So think about that. Players in that echelon, all-time greats, are no longer even the most important players in that midfield. Defensively, Bayern is going to have its work cut out for it. There's a lot of speed on that Real Madrid side. Now, they don't have that lockdown goal scorer that they've had in the past when they had Benzema, when they had Ronaldo. And I'm not saying they don't have good scorers, because they do. But they don't have that one person who's the focal point that opens things up for everyone else. So Bayern Munich is going to have to really, really play solid team defense more than ever, because it can't just focus on trying to limit one player. It's got to stop everyone and everything that Real Madrid throws at them. And it's going to be a challenge. I mean, Eric Dier and Matthijs de Ligt have done incredibly well in recent weeks, but they're even going to have to step it up more. And you've got Kimmich is going to have to play as good as he possibly can at right back. And that whole left back conundrum that you have right now. Alphonso Davies facing off with the team that he's allegedly transferring to over the summer. Will he be focused? Will he be ready? Will Tuchel need to take him out of the lineup in favor of Rafael Guerrero or even Nusar Mizrahi? Again, that's going to be something that Tuchel's really going to have to look at, because one thing that Davies has seemingly been affected by all season is his lack of focus, and whether it's because his future is uncertain, whether it's because he just doesn't care anymore. You don't have time to let him work it out. You have to go with what will be best in that game. And I'm sure in many cases, the option will be Davies, because he's that good when he's on top of his game. But Tuchel's got to make some decisions. He's got to assess a lot of things. From a fan standpoint, you have every right to be excited. And it's one of the reasons why I don't want Bayern Munich to slack off this weekend against Frankfurt. I want them to go out and get a win. I don't want to see a loss. I don't want to see a draw, because I want fans to be amped up and excited for this. Now, I know naturally some of you will be nervous. Some of you will be tense. A lot of you will be anxious. But this is what you live for as a fan. These are the matchups that you want. This is the level of excitement that you really strive to. You want to be raging and ramped up, and you want to see this match. You want to see it more than anything. And the good part is you get two legs to do it. So even if Bayern Munich to draw and have a close loss, as long as they're within striking distance for that second leg, they've got a chance. And as a fan, that's really all you can ask for. So what I would ask of fans, get ready. Be ready. I almost found myself saying, stand back and stand by, or whatever the hell the quote was, but damn, I almost ripped it out. Now I'm making myself laugh. Whatever the case, fans need to be extremely poised and ready to enjoy this. Be excited about it. Have fun watching the game. Sure, it'll be tense, but enjoy it, because these are the moments that you really live for as a fan. So they don't get any bigger than this. Real Madrid in the Champions League. You got to be totally excited. I know I'm already jazzed up about it, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. That'll about wrap it up for this edition of the Weekend Warm-Up. Appreciate everybody for hanging in every week. It's a lot of fun doing this show. A little disappointed myself about not watching anything on TV this week, but this happens every spring with me. My schedule gets nuts. I revert to just watching the Phillies or the NHL or NBA playoffs at night, and that's what happens. I don't know. Sorry. I always slack off on TV, which I guess is not such a bad thing in the grand scheme of everything. So bear with me. I'll get back on track with watching something. And yes, at some point I will watch Shogun. So all of you guys get off my back. I will definitely try that show. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get Tom Adams at TommyAdams71. It sure would be great to hear Tom on one of these podcasts soon. It's been too long, Tom. So if you're listening to this, get your butt on a podcast. You can get Siler at BFW Siler, and you can get Marcus Iredal at Iredal Marcus. Good thinking on that Twitter handle, Marcus. You can get all of our great writers and podcasters at BavarianFootballWorks.com. We will have everything covering the Eintracht match. We'll have all of the news leading up to the Real Madrid tie in the Champions League. And hey, we're following this coaching situation with Ralf Rangnick very closely. So any updates there, just hit BFW. You know we'll have it. So hey, have a couple of beers on me. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the match. We'll see you next time.